Proverbs 5, verse number 3, Bible says, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, all you children, depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for these guys being here in your house, Lord. I know we've had a long, busy week, a good week, Lord, but I just pray that you would meet with us today. Lord, if we're tired and fatigued, I pray you just give us the energy that we need to focus and to gain something from your word. And God, that we will be strengthened and closer to you as a result of it. Lord, I pray you would please give me the right words and thoughts and spirit. Pray that you would be lifted up. I pray that your voice would speak to each young man in the room right now, God, that they would hear from you. And God, that we would be more like you as a result of it, that we would show forth more of your glory, Lord. We thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, I do ask that you would bless these guys that are going on the trip this week. Keep them safe. Give them a great time. And speak to their hearts, Lord. Continue to mold them and shape them into the young men that you'd have them be. Bless our time. Bless our day, Lord. This is important because it's your word. And I pray you'd help us to tune in as a result. And God, that we would be different in our lives because of it, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys for standing. You can be seated. We've been in this study for a couple weeks now. And guys, I just want to remind you as we open this back up, hey, a lot of guys have fallen to this particular temptation, the temptation of a woman and the seductive ways of her. This is in Proverbs 7. It says, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. What is it saying? It's saying a lot of guys have fallen to this type of temptation. Guys, that's sad to think about. I've known some good guys that could have served God. They could have made a difference. They could have really impacted some lives as a result. But because they got tied up with the wrong woman, that's not going to happen. And why do we say that? Just to shake our heads at them and say, man, what's wrong with you? No, it's so we get the warning now that that could happen to us. That could happen to you. That could happen to me. Guys, it's sad because they'll never fulfill their potential, their true potential. They'll never reach their peak in serving God. They'll never accomplish the plans that God has for them. And they will never do the perfect will of God for their life. That's sad. Do you want that to be you in 10, 15, 20 years from now? Of course not. Right? So we've got to wake up and pay attention and get a hold of the lessons that this chapter is trying to lay out for us. Guys, I don't even really need to say this, but this temptation is aggressive. It's coming after us. It's everywhere. It's pervasive. It's prevalent. It's powerful. It's in your face. It's pushed at you. Listen, it's everywhere, okay? So you can't just lay back and say, I'll be fine. I don't really need to go hard after this thing. If you're not going hard in the opposite direction, you're going to fall to this, okay? So this is a battle. That's why our study is called Purity Education 101. Don't get it mistaken. God wants you to stay pure as a teenager, as a young man. He wants you to stay pure and then get married to your one wife one day and be dedicated and devoted to her for the rest of your life. That's it. That's God's plan. But you know what, guys? You need to be committed to being pure, but also you need to have a plan in place. You need to know what you're doing so that you don't mess up here. A lot of guys never make it to their early 20s, their late 20s, and can make that right decision, guys. Why? Because they messed up when they're 16 or 15 or whatever the case may be. They have messed around in this area and it's scarred them for their future. You don't want that, all right? So let's dive in again. Purity Education 101. We have opened up into the third point. The first one was the real story. The second one was the removal that's serious. And then we just barely got into last week, the ruin that spreads. Let's just real quick in verses 3 and 4 remind ourselves. So this is talking about the real story, the romantic appeal. Verse number 3, the lips of a strange woman, they drop as a honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil. How does she come at you guys? She comes with a beautiful entrance, but can you tell me the two ways that it tells us she's going to appear to us? Yeah, it's going to look good. It's going to look appealing, right? It's going to look sweet. It's going to look smooth. What she says, how she looks, the way she conducts herself. You think, man, this is exactly what I want. And guys, verse number 4 tells us the real story, though. You're going to see a lot of verse number 3 out in the world. Okay, you're going to see it on TV, you're going to see it on movies, you're going to see it on the internet, social media, billboards like we talked about. And the way people dress, man, it looks sweet, it looks smooth. You think, wow, this looks awesome. Guys, the real story is in verse number 4. But her end, the end result, what is it? Aiden, they come at us looking sweet and smooth. What's the result, though, in verse number 4? Yep, sour and sharp, right? Bitter and sharp. And guys, last week we pulled a verse from Ecclesiastes talking about bitter. It says this person is more bitter than what? Death. That is mind-blowing to me. Guys, again, in this life that we have here on earth, there's not much more that's bitter than death. Death is a very bitter thing. If the person that died was a Christian, you will see them again. We have that hope. We sorrow not as others that have no hope. Those that are unsaved, that have no hope of seeing them again. But guys, we still sorrow, right? That's a bitter blow. That's something ripped out of your life suddenly, tragically, and you think, wow, that's hard to deal with. The Bible says this lady is more bitter than death. That means she can hurt you very severely. We got to take that seriously, guys. We've got to wake up and pay attention when the Bible's telling us these things. So it's bitter as wormwood and sharp as a two-edged sword. She'll cut you deep is what it's talking about. She works for the devil, verse number 5. Her ways are movable. You can't get a good read on her, verse number 6. And then, all right, guys. So we see the real story in verses, verses 1 through 6, but 3 and 4, it's concentrated. Verses 7 and 8. The point is called the removal that's serious. But what do we need to do, right? We know that the real story is not what the world puts out. Guys, let me say this before we get into point number 2 again. It's amazing to me how the world leaves out the real story, right? Guys, what we learn from verse number 4, that the end result is bitter and sharp as a two-edged sword. Hey, guys, you're not going to see it on the movies. You're not going to see that on TV shows. You're not going to see that on the beer commercials. You're not going to see that on the billboards. And you're not going to see that on social media. That amazes me, Bruce, that it just puts out the appealing side, the attractive side, the alluring side, the seductive side. But Ethan, it does not tell you the real story. What is the real story? What does it lead to? It gives you the opposite outcome, and it's going to be something that's bitter, more bitter than death, and it's going to be something that'll cut you deep. Guys, the world doesn't tell you that, but I'm glad the Bible does, right? That's why we need to tune into it. Guys, we can fall into these traps of believing what the world is shooting at us and throwing at us, but we need to reject that and find out what God says. God says her end is bitter and it's sharp. Just wanted to throw that your way before we move on. So what's our reaction need to be in verses 7, 8? What do we need to do about it? As I said, should we just have the reaction like I've heard from some guys, man, there's some bad girls. And I'm thinking, duh. We got to move past that. That's pretty simplistic. So what do we need to do about it? As I said, if we just say, man, there's bad girls, but we still go after them, then what are we even doing? We're wasting our time, right? So what do we need to do about it? Wes, I think you raised your hand a minute ago. I'll get you.
You get away from them.
Get away from them. What does the Bible say? Remove, verse number 8, remove thy way far from her. Come not nigh the door of her house. Hey, guys, is that hard to understand? Is that mysterious? Is that, Brother Tom, we need to ponder that and consider that. And what are the deeper implications? Get away from her. And what does it say? Get far away from her. Come not nigh the door of her house. Guys, get away from her. Hey, this is what we need to listen to. If a girl is flirtatious, if a girl is touching, if a girl is not dressed appropriately, and guys, that's tempting to us as young men, then what do we need to do? We need to get out of there. And as I said last week, if your routine, your normal daily occurrences that you do in your life, if you're always encountering her, if you're always, I go to my locker and there she is, or I go to this certain lunch table and there she is. Maybe you need to switch up your routine, okay? Maybe, Ethan, every time I get online to play this certain video game at this certain time, man, she's on too. Hello, fellas. Maybe we need to either get off that game, period, or at least switch up the time that we're on there. Well, man, late at night, she's always texting me and I know I shouldn't be doing that, but you know, you need to switch up your routine and realize, hey, I can't keep doing the same thing, right, guys? I can't keep doing the same thing and expect things to turn out well. All right, I've got to switch it up. I've got to realize that this is getting me into trouble. And it says, remove thy way far from her. Don't even come nigh the door of her house. And then, guys, we got into point number 3. This covers verses 9 through 11. It says, Verse number 9, I'll just read 9 and 10 right now. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. That's what we dealt with last week. Verse number 10, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Now, I did want to point this out. I mentioned it quickly last week, but I want to go a little deeper with it today. This word, guys, is very important and very interesting. The word lest. It comes up, as you see, at the beginning of verse number 9 and the verse beginning of verse number 10, lest. Does anybody know what it means? If not, it's all right, but I just want to throw it out there first.
It's kind of like or else.
Good, good, very good. Yes, it means or else, or the one that I like, or something bad will happen. Will happen. And I'm being sloppy because I'm trying to hurry. All right. Now, the thing about this word that's cool is there's a command that goes before it. Mm-hmm. Always. When you see this word in the Bible, circle it and then say, all right, what's the command? So guys, what is the command that comes before the word lesson? I'll go with
Ethan. Get away from it.
Yeah. From verse 8 that we dealt with, right? Remove. Get out of there. Lest means this. Remove. If you don't remove, you don't follow this command, then always consequences follow. And the consequences are what we're talking about, verses 9 through 11. Interesting, huh? So anytime you see that word in the Bible, check it out. Find out, and there's going to be a command in front of it, and then it's going to say, all right, Uriel, if you're not going to listen to this command, this is what's going to happen. And that's basically what the word is describing. So I think that's pretty cool. So it's saying, lest thou give thine honor unto others, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth. So guys, what does this guy do? He shuns the commands. He's saying, I don't need to remove my way far from her. I think that's a little too drastic. I think that's a little too extreme. Come not nigh the door of her house. Man, I can handle myself. I'm not going to get myself in trouble. I can handle it. Okay. He's saying, if you don't, these are the consequences that are going to show up. The first one, guys, in verse number 9, says that you give your honor unto others. What does that basically mean that we talked about last week? It's talking about the shame is crushing. What do you guys think that means, if you remember from last week? The idea of honor, that your honor will be gone. What is that talking about?
What? Like your testimony?
Your testimony, your reputation, your positive reputation, any respectability that you have, any good things that you've accomplished. Guys, out the window. It's out the window. All that will be gone. And what did we say? A lot of times, guys, we hear it every week. Every week. If you're paying attention, you hear it every week. You turn on the news. This senator, this congressman, this politician, had done all these good things and blah, blah, blah. And then it comes out that he's been cheating on his wife. There's some scandal that comes out. And guys, many of these things, they've been brewing for years. You know why? Because he's been trying to keep it quiet. He's trying not to have his wife find out. He's trying not to have his political figure friends find out. He's been trying to cover it up. Hey, guys, there's a shame that's crushing. All that honor is out the window. Guys, we don't want that to happen to us. Listen, some of you guys are trying to live right. You're trying to build a positive testimony and reputation. That's great. Can I tell you, you mess up with a wicked woman, that's gone. It's out the window. It's gone. Listen, by the way, if you want people to take your preaching or your teaching or your instruction to them seriously, you live it yourself. Like they say, practice what you preach. Hey guys, you know the best way for people not to listen to you is by you being fake. Listen, if they know you're just putting on a performance and just flapping your gums when you're preaching or teaching to them, but you have no interest in living it yourself, they're not gonna listen to you. And if this guy is messing around in this area of life, obviously, his honor is gone. His respectability is gone. And then, guys, the second thing in verse number 9, it says, "And thy years unto the cruel." So not only is the shame crushing, and guys, I know sometimes you guys listen to me and you're just like, go ahead, Brother Tom, just keep talking. Just you keep using them fancy words. Hey, guys, this is your life we're talking about, okay? Hey, I pray that it's never this way. But if we mess up, this could be you. This could be your honor that's out the window. So pay attention, right? This is talking about your life. And it says, thy years unto the cruel. I call that that stress can cut your life short. Hey, guys, that worry, that stress that is moving in that guy's heart and mind constantly. He can't get away from it. This thing can wear him out. The threat of exposure of that scandal, that blackmail, and some of these things we'll talk about in the next verse. Guys, that can cut a person's life short. It says you'll give your years unto the cruel. Guys, maybe a person's supposed to live 80 years, but because of the stress and the worry and the strain on him mentally, hey, again, the devil only shows you the good side up front, right? He shows you the appealing side. And we're talking about a woman. He's only talking about, man, she looks so amazing. And you think, yeah. He doesn't show you about the stress that's going to wear you out day and night, month after month, and year after year if you don't get it taken care of. The devil doesn't tell you about that, right? He's got some hidden costs, some hidden fees that he doesn't tell you about. Guys, you'll give your years unto the cruel. Real quickly, let's go back to Psalm 32. Psalm 32 as a reference for this point about the stress can cut your life short. Who's a very prominent figure in the Bible that fell to this exact temptation that we're talking about? David. That's who we're referring to in Psalm 32. Guys, this is in the middle of his after he sinned, and then he's avoiding getting right. That went on, guys, for about 9 months to a year's time frame. David was away from God. Anthony, he knew he had done wrong, and it was tearing him up on the inside, but he didn't want to admit it to God. He didn't want to come clean. He didn't want to confess it. He didn't want to get it right. What happened to him? We're in Psalm 32, verse number 3. Check this out. It says, when I kept silence, okay? What I was just referring to, Bruce, I'm not going to pray to God. I'm not going to confess my sins. I'm not going to come clean. I'm going to hide it. I'm going to hold on to it. What happened? He said, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night, thy hand, talking about God's hand, was heavy upon me. My moisture is turning to the drought of summer, Selah. Guys, there's a lot in there that I won't completely unpack. But he's saying, this is wearing me out. This is wearing me out. He's talking about the stress that goes along. Guys, again, the devil just shows you the pleasant looking side of sin. He shows you what's alluring, what's appealing. He shows you what gets your flesh riled up and you think, wow, this is awesome looking. He doesn't show you about the stress. He doesn't show you that it's going to wear you out day and night. He's not going to show you how God's going to be displeased. And it's going to be turning you inside out constantly and constantly and constantly. And you never get away from it until you get right with God. He's saying, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day. Guys, he physically aged as a result of this sin that he had with Bathsheba. Guys, there's some people, they're younger, but they look old. Why? Because sin has worn them out at a young age. You look at them, how old are you? I'm 25. You're like, are you sure? You sure you didn't flip your numbers around? You're 52? You know, like, are you sure? Boy, sin has worn them out. The drugs, the alcohol, the adultery, the porn, the wickedness in their minds and their hearts. Guys, it's worn them out. Do you want that? No. Of course we don't. But that's what happens. And again, the devil doesn't show these things when he is advertising to you the temptations of sin. And he says, through my roaring all the day long. Guys, that roaring is talking about he's moaning, he's groaning all the day long. There's never a time where this stops. And then verse 4, for day and night thy hand, talking about God's hand, was heavy upon him. He's saying, it's like God is pressing down on me and crushing me. Whew. And then the last statement in verse 4, my moisture is turning to the drought of summer. Guys, that's talking about he got physically sick because of the grief and the guilt. And guys, he's saying the actual life juices that I need to continue on, the saliva, the blood flow, he's like, it's like this stuff is drying up inside of me. You know, the devil doesn't tell you about all that stuff, doesn't he? But the stress can cut your life short. We talked about, you can go back to Proverbs. We talked about last week in Proverbs 28:1 how the wicked flee when no man pursueth. You know what I'm talking about, guys? They have a guilty conscience. They know that one day that those consequences are going to catch up with them, and they're worried. Even Aiden, when no one's chasing them, that's what the verse is saying. They're running, and nobody's chasing them. Why? Because they know one day that'll catch up with them, and they're worried. They're bothered by it. Hey, guys, let me say right at this point, if you have sinned, if you have messed up in whatever area of life, hey guys, you can confess it to God. He already knows about it. I mean, David said, I kept silent. I wasn't telling God. Anthony, God already knew about it, right? God wasn't in the dark about this. But guys, when we've sinned, confess it to God. Pour the whole thing out before him. Paint the whole ugly picture saying, God, this is what I did. And God will forgive you, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Hey, it's better to live in forgiveness and cleansing than it is to try to cover it up so I can get away with it. The stress will cut your life short. Verse number 10. Next subpoint, the sin is costly. Look at what it says. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Guys, both of these phrases in this verse, Uriel, they're talking about money. And it's saying that it'll cost you, this sin will cost you. Strangers will be filled with thy wealth and thy labor shall be in the house of a stranger. Ethan, you know, we've talked about you getting paid, your job and all that kind of stuff. I don't know about you. I don't want my hard-earned money to go to some stranger. I don't like that. That's not okay with me. What would this be referring to, though, guys? He's saying my money, my wealth is going to fill strangers and my labors in the house of a stranger. Well, guys, for one, it could be that he's paying the prostitute. That could be one. If it's not a prostitute, it's a different scenario. He could be paying off the husband so as there's no retaliation. So he'd be paying under the table for that. Or, guys, it could be a child is produced and he's paying child support. So sin is costly. Guys, it's costly. It's costly. It's costly. Again, the devil shows you the quick, momentary pleasure. That's all he shows you. And guys, we've got to train ourselves not to just focus on that, but think about where does it lead. You say, but Brother Tom, I can't always envision or foresee what's going to happen. Well, if you're reading your Bible, you'll see some of the areas that it's going to lead to. We've got to focus on that. What have I said this whole study about purity education? Our weaponry, our defense, guys, is truth. We've got to have these things in place. You know why I'm preaching and teaching this to you guys? So that, Anthony, when you're confronted with a sexual temptation, which we all are, you know what you need to think? You know what the real story is? The real story is, but her in as bitter as wormwood. That's your defenses. That's your weapons. That's your armor to keep you strong. That'll keep you going. And what's also your defenses and your weapons? I need to remove my way far from her. And if I don't, the ruin will spread in my life. Hey, guys, you start thinking about where sin will lead, it'll keep you from falling for the initial sin and temptation at the beginning. We've got to keep this truth in our mind. George, we've got to keep this thing stacked in our mind so that we don't fall prey. As I said, guys, we can't just, I think I said this a couple weeks ago, but we can't just see a pretty girl and be like, come on, bro, wake up. Have some knowledge, have some wisdom about this. This is why Solomon is teaching his son, and this is why God put it in the Bible. So as young men, we'll have wisdom in this critical area. Because a lot of guys have fallen to it, and we don't want to be the next one. The ruin will spread. The shame is crushing. The stress can cut your life short. And the sin is costly. These payoffs, this hush money payment, these blackmail schemes. Guys, it'll cost you. It'll cost you. It'll cost you. As I said, it could be child support. It could be alimony. It could be these different payments that have to go. Why? Because this man made the wrong decision in this area. And then, guys, I want to give you one more in this section. We'll move on to a new point. The symptoms that can come. Verse number 11. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. What do you guys think that's talking about? You'll mourn at the last when your flesh and your body are consumed. What do you think it could be talking about? No clue?
I guess when your body reaches the limit.
Okay, yeah, the stress is, I guess, taking over and taking a toll. Yeah, it could be that. Any other ideas?
What? Yes, like, this is one of the last, like, near the end, like, once you realize everything that happened and everything you've done.
Yeah, that's really interesting, that part of the verse, because he's saying you mourn at the last. Guys, mourning, where do we usually think of mourning? Like a funeral, like something like that? What is mourning? Mourning sounds like, oh. You ever hear people crying at a funeral? That's not an enjoyable sound, right? They're just weeping and wailing. They're so sad. That's what mourning is talking about. Hey, guys, again, does the devil show you this on the beer commercials? No. Does he show it to you on the billboards and the social media, on the internet, and on these movies with women with barely any clothes on? By the way, since I'm in the neighborhood, guys, it's not just that women don't wear enough clothes sometimes. Sometimes they have clothes on, but they're tight as anything. That ain't okay either. Okay, just so you know. So you're not preaching to girls. I understand that. But we need to know what to avoid. Okay? Well, she's got clothes on. Yeah, but they're 8 sizes too small. Let's be real about it. You can't look at girls like that, guys. All right? The ruin will spread, the symptoms that can come. Let me get to verse number 11. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. You know what this is referring to and can be referring to, guys? Such things as AIDS, such things as STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. And guys, there's a lot of them that we could talk about, and I have no interest in detailing them all to you because they're pretty nasty. Do you know if you mess with the wrong woman that she's already messed around with other people, guys, that can affect you physically. Mm-hmm. You have to go to the doctor and get treatment for those kind of things, and some of those things never go away. Mm-hmm. That's serious. You say, the Bible talks about stuff like this? It's right there. You mourn when your flesh and your body are consumed. I'll never forget, probably most of you don't know the name Archie Chappell. Maybe you've heard it in church, but he used to be the youth pastor here a long time ago, like before I was born. Yeah, way back, you know, before I became you. We got a joke that I won't spend time on. But back in like the 80s and I guess maybe touching into the 90s a little bit, Brother Archie Chappell was the youth pastor here at Woodlawn, way back. And then he was a pastor in Pennsylvania for many, many years. And sometimes, George, he would come. And when he would come, they would bring all the teens together and he would preach to them. So it would be the teen girls, teen boys combined. And he would preach to us. And I'll never forget this story he would tell, guys. He said, I think it was at like Disney World or something like that, that a group of Christian young people on their senior trip went to Disney World, right? They were there for like a week, something like this. And the story centers on a particular girl in that Christian group, right? She went there, very attractive young lady. She's modest. She was pure. You know, she was a good Christian young lady. She went in that group, and they're having a great time at Disney World, and they're there the whole week. Early on in that week, though, there was a guy that started coming after. He would see her, and he would flirt around with her, and you could tell this guy was not a Christian, that he did not want to do right, and he kept trying, come on, just date me, come on, let's just go somewhere, come on. And guys, his intentions were not just to hang out with her and just to spend a good time with her, okay? His intentions went a lot deeper than that. And at first, this girl was appalled. She said, no, I don't want to do this. She was trying to be friendly. She didn't want to be rude, but she would say no to him. But guys, this kept on. Early in the week, he would try. She would say no. Middle of the week, he would try, and she would say no. But guys, over time, her defenses got weakened, okay? Toward the end of the week, please, just spend tonight with me. Please, I love you. I want to show you how much I love you. I want to give my all to you. Guys, toward the end of the week, she fell for those propositions that this idiot was throwing at her. She spent time with him. She spent the night with him, and that's all I'm going to say about that. Guys, her last day came, okay? She had spent the previous night with this idiot, this bozo, and then she was going to leave the next day. Well, she gets all her stuff together. She heads to the airport. And as she's at the airport, this guy shows up. Says, I brought you a little present just so you'll never forget me. Gives her the present, but don't open it until you get on the plane. She gets the present from this guy, gets on the plane, opens it up. Says, I wonder what he got me. She opens it up. This is where the story gets really crazy. Inside that packaging, guys, was this present. It was a little wooden coffin. That's weird. She opens this little coffin up. There's a note. She pulls the note out, opens the note up, and you know what the note says? Welcome to AIDS. As I heard that story as a teenager, that's a powerful story, though, isn't it? I believe it's a real story that it actually happened. Hey, guys, this is how serious this stuff can be. This is how serious this stuff can be. It's not something worth playing around with. That's what verse number 11 is talking about. That can happen to you. oh no, I know what I'm doing. And the world tries to work around all these consequences. No, we got protection and we've got this and we've got that. And they call it safe sex and all this stuff. No, you know how you're safe in that area? You only do those kind of things with your wife. That's the only safe thing. I'm trying to speak straight up to you. I'm trying not to be nasty with my language, guys, but that's the only safe way to do it. You mess around with this person, that person, this person, and by the way, they've messed around with all these other people. That is not safe. That's dirty. That's nasty. And whether you get a disease or not, guys, it's something you should not be playing around with. All right? Is that story crazy or what, though? It certainly is, right? It blows your mind. So we've talked about the real story of purity education, the removal that's serious. Hey guys, are you gonna remove your way? Are you gonna ask God to show you and identify to you the weak areas of your life, the areas that you need to change and modify and adjust things so that you don't get yourself in that position? As I said, time out. As I said, guys, you can't put yourselves in these positions and then expect to be super Christian when the stakes get high and when the pressure gets intense. It doesn't work that way. You know what you need to do if you want to be a good Christian? Stay out of those positions. I've heard these guys, and as I told you last week, I've heard guys talk to me about this particular instance. Man, I went over her house and nobody was there, blah, blah, blah. And then they mess up. Hey guys, am I over here like shocked, like the Home Alone kid, like, I can't believe that. No, when you put yourself in that position, you're gonna fall. Wes, it would be the same story as if a guy said, yeah, Brother Tom, there was a fire there in front of me, and I dropped something, and I put my hand down in the fire, and guess what? What? I got burned. No, I'm not shocked when you put your hand in the fire that you get burned. And guys, I'm not surprised when a guy puts himself in that kind of position, say, man, and I fail. And I'm over here, oh, don't say it. No. You know, those scary movies when you're like, don't go in the room. Don't go in the room. Guys, it's too late. It's too late. You've already put yourself in that position. You can't mess like that. Guys, you gotta be more careful. Are you gonna remove your way far from her? Are you? That's, if we were to break down this chapter, that's kind of where the whole command is. Remove thy way far from her and don't come nigh the door of her house. Verse 8 is key. And then guys, if you don't, the ruin that will spread. The shame is crushing. The stress can cut your life short. The sin is costly, and the symptoms that can come. Let's dive in just a little bit into point number 4, and that's probably where we will end today. Point number 4, guys, the regret about the spiritual. You say, Brother Tom, you're giving us a lot. Yeah, I know, because there's a lot in this chapter, but again, this is for your life. If you respond the right way, not because it's me, guys, but because it's God's word, if you respond the right way, this can help you and help ensure that you'll be a godly man, that you'll have a good family, that you'll follow the will of God, and that God will bless you in these areas. But guys, if you blow it off, again, if you blow it off and say, I don't need this stuff, all right, then these consequences will be knocking on your front door, okay? The regret about the spiritual. Verse number 12 through 14 is where point number 4 is found. And say, how have I hated instruction, my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. These are interesting, very, very interesting verses. The regret about the spiritual. So, what is the real story? The real story is not what the world throws at us. Her end is bitter as wormwood and sharp as a two-edged sword. The removal that's serious. Get away from it. Get away from it now as far as possible. And then if you don't, there's serious, serious consequences and repercussions that'll come your way. But this one's very interesting, guys. This is a church setting. This is a setting of those that have grown up in church. They've heard the truth, but they've rejected it. What is their reaction going to be? Verse number 12, he's saying, and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? First thing about this point, there's been foolish living. You know what this guy is saying? He actually says it. That's what the beginning of verse number 12 says. It says, and say. You know what that means to me, Ethan? He expresses this. I mean, the mourning has been going on in his life. He's felt some of the repercussions financially. He's felt some of the stress, the shame. His honor is out the window. He's felt those things. And perhaps he even has some kind of STD where his body is physically affected by this sin that he's done. But now he expresses it. You know what he's doing, guys? He's showing his regret. He's showing, I was wrong. I never should have done this. I was so foolish. I was so stupid not to listen. And that's basically what he's saying in verses 12 through 14. He said, I've been so foolish to live this way. I was so dumb not to listen. And let's dive in into the details of this. Verse 12, guys, he says, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? Guys, those are strong words. He says, I hated instruction and I despised reproof. What does that mean? He didn't want anybody telling him what to do. He was repulsed by people trying to teach him the right way. Guys, instruction is basically, George, I'm trying to teach you what's right. That's what it, basically instruction is. And then reproof is correction. Correction would be, Ethan, I don't think you should have handled this situation that way. Maybe you shouldn't have said this. Maybe you shouldn't have done that. And I'm correcting you. We try to do it gently. We try to do it in a good way, a private way. But guys, that's what those concepts are. I'm teaching you what's right, and then I'm correcting you when you've done wrong. What is this guy's reaction to it? He doesn't want any part of it. You know what he's saying? I don't want you telling me what to do, and I don't want you correcting me when I've done wrong. Guys, I've had guys that used to come to this class, sit in this room, hear this kind of preaching, tell me, I don't want you telling me what to do. I don't want you trying to control my life. By the way, I'm not trying to control their lives. I'm trying to get them close to God so God can control their lives. Okay? But they say, I don't want you telling me what to do. I've had one guy in particular say, I don't want you putting your, usually when I'm talking to a guy, I put my hand on his shoulder. He says, I don't want you putting your hand on my shoulder. I ain't your slave. I ain't your dog. I'm thinking, that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be gentle with you. I'm trying to show you that I care about you. But you know what? I've had people say that to me. They hated instruction. They despised reproof. Hey, guys, do you hate when somebody's trying to teach you something in the Bible? How dare he try to tell me this? Thinks he knows better than me. Thinks he's better than me. Blah, blah, blah. It has nothing to do with that. Do you have a problem when people try to correct you? When they say, hey, George, you probably shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have said this. Is the first, it's not even a word. Is the first sound out of your mouth? That's a bad sign. Do you roll your eyes first thing? Is it, do you get all bowed up and all tucked up? Guys, that's not a good thing. That is not a good thing. This is Proverbs 9. I just want to reference it. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, he'll love thee. You know, when I read that verse and think about that verse, I always think of this guy, Brother Jeffrey. You say, is he a bad guy? No, the last part of that verse, it says, you rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. I remember back in the day, he's a teenager, and I would tell him certain things. Jeffrey, I see you hanging around this person, or I see you being interested in this girl, or whatever the case may be. And guys, those are awkward conversations for me. I don't like dealing with stuff like that, being honest with you. I don't look forward to those things. I don't wake up early in the day, Ethan, and think, all right, I get to go blast this guy today. I think, oh goodness, I hope I don't do this wrong. I hope I don't say the wrong thing. And I stress out about it. But I remember going to Jeffrey several times and say, hey man, you want to check this? And I would have to get on him about certain things. George, he would be so thankful and so appreciative. It was almost like, did he hear what I said? You know, did he not understand what I told him? But no, his attitude would change. His behavior would change. And he said, thank you, Brother Tom, for caring for me. I appreciate you, man. Thank you for telling me that. And he would change whatever he needed to do. You rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. Hey guys, you rebuke a scorner, he's gonna hate you. Hey guys, how do you take correction? How do you take correction from your parents? How do you take correction from your spiritual leaders? How do you take correction from your school teachers? Why are they always telling me what to do? Maybe because they care for you. You know how many times I've heard from teenagers, no, that teacher just doesn't like me. The whole rest of the class, she's cool with, or he's cool with, but they just got something against me. Can I tell you, most teachers don't have it out for you? Some of you guys are like, I don't want to hear you right now. You're correcting me. Aha! I'm getting you. Listen, most teachers don't have it out for you. Why don't you just take care of your own business? Why don't you treat them friendly? And why don't you do your work and do the best you can? And you know what? You might find out they're pretty nice people. They're actually trying to help you, most of them. Now, maybe there's some bad teachers here and there, but I'd say the vast majority of them, they care for you. They're investing in you. They're trying to help you. Hey, guys, this guy gets all bowed up. This guy gets all angry, and he doesn't want to receive correction. I don't want you telling me what to do. Hey, guys, do we ever have particular topics that the preachers get on, and as soon as they get on them, you get all tensed up? I'm just not going to listen because I don't like them talking about it. That doesn't change the fact that it's true.
Hey, I've had that too. I've come to church my whole life. There's been times, Anthony, where they get on a certain subject, and I'm thinking, can we not talk about this? Why don't you want to talk about this? Because I'm not good at this. You know, like, move on to something else that I'm better at. No, if it comes from the Bible, it's all good for us. It's profitable for us. But how do you take correction? This guy was so foolish in his living, he said, I was so dumb not to listen. He hated reproof, and he despised instruction. Guys, that's a dangerous, dangerous place to live. Are you furious about the lessons? I don't know why Brother Tom's teaching us to be pure. Why can't he mind his own business? Why can't he just leave it alone? Why can't he just let us have some fun and live our own lives? Because it's too important. I've seen too many guys fall to this to see a whole nother generation of guys just say, oh, yeah, do whatever you want. No. No, we've got to live according to the Bible. If we want the blessings of God, guys, we've got to live according to the Bible. We can't do our own thing and then say, God, why are all these problems happening in my life? Check how you live, okay? He's furious about the lessons. He regrets it. He's resented the lessons that people have tried to teach him. He's resistant. He fights against it in every way. And he's got his whole thinking backwards as a result. I've run out of time, so we will pick it up again next week, guys, but the regret about the spiritual. Listen, this thing about purity education, guys, it's a big deal. I hope we're taking the lessons and using these things. Hey, this past week, have you removed your way far from her? Have you thought about the real story that even though the world throws it and portrays it in this way, that's not really how it turns out? I hope we use these things. I hope it's not just me talking up here. I hope we take it in and we're using it in how we live and how we make decisions and how we move forward in this very crucial area. All right, that's your purity education. Let's bow.